503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
We all want to have just a little bit of peace of mind for that time of the year right now. What's going on in our government, statewide, nationally? The budget here in California, as Andrew has talked about, $170 billion spending plan out there, and they still want more. They want to extend the Prop 30 taxes, and they just want more. There's organizations and groups out there that just want more and more money. They're getting more and more money with every budget year, yet they want to have more. They want to tax more. They want to make it more difficult for businesses, for people to make it in our great state, our community, our county, the great state of California, and in these United States. It's very difficult out there. We all want just a little peace of mind. I know I do. And I wish that for everybody out there. But government, the legislature, the governors, presidents, senators, whoever out there, and the organizations that feed off of them and go after them for more and more and more from our money, as we have less and less people paying those taxes. The more you make, the more they want. Tax and spend, tax and spend. You hear it all the time. Man, I just want a little peace of mind. It is Friday. It is my favorite day of the week. I'm a little up today. You know, we just had a debate the other night, and man, they're going after each other pretty hard. We only got about 17 days left of the caucuses. But joining me over here on my right, my good friend and yours, Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, how you doing today, pal?
Doing great as always. You know, spent the last couple of days digging myself out of snow.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of deception out there. I mean, I walked out the other day, man, it was almost knee deep in certain areas on my property. I was like, wow, where did this come from? But you're absolutely right, Tim. You know, peace of mind is something we must have, folks. And you know, folks, real quick, I mean, you know, we play the music here for a little bit, and sometimes, you know, a few people have asked why we play the music so long. We have to remind you that we are political improv, you know, so it takes a minute for me to try to figure out what Tim is going to say. And generally speaking, the words of the song kind of tell me which way you're going to go, Tim. Yeah. So for all you folks out there asking why we do it like this, well, that's why. Because it takes us a few moments. Because we don't have teleprompters. We don't have scripts. Once again, political improv is what we do here on the 503 Report. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we podcast on iTunes, Tim, where America's voice is heard.
And we do. And we want to thank them for that. And Northeast California and California and our union brothers and sisters and everybody out there listening to our report. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. I'm talking about nationally as well, but the budget here in the great state of California, Governor Brown, of course, was a champion for Prop 30, got it going, and he said when the taxes ended, he wanted it to end. He's kind of waffling a little bit. He's been very conservative with his spending, letting the party kind of take control of that. He is really trying not to get embroiled in this one, Andrew.
Waffling, man. I think he's taking a step out of that famous dance out of Texas, the two steps. He's taking one step back, you know, very, very quickly. And, you know, all of a sudden he realizes, you know, what we just said last week, ironically, that, you know, the Proposition 30 temporary taxes, folks, they're going to have to be extended in order to maintain $170 billion in spending out here on the West Coast. Now, that's up to us, folks. I mean, we just saw a field poll come out today, or this week, should we say, where 50% of Californians, they're championing it like that's a huge, huge, huge victory. But only 50% of Californians right now think or believe in accordance to this leftist poll. And these guys are leftists, man. So you know they're struggling to find these numbers. But only 50% of you folks out here in California think that the state or believe that the state of California is going in the right direction.
Well, it's just something we talk about all the time here as California is getting a little bit more central. And they're probably going into areas where they think, Andrew, and that's where the trouble could come from for the Democrats, is they're probably going into areas, San Francisco, Los Angeles, those communities, those areas right under those counties down there that are typically strong for their base. And if they're only coming up with 50%, and we already know that 30 or 40% of the folks go out and vote, so those numbers are pretty doggone low.
They're almost screwed, I have to tell you, man. I mean, the bottom line, it's skewed, you know, they're twisted up. And that's all we're trying to do here, folks. We're trying to point out the facts and, you know, let you decide on the information that we put out there all the time, folks. And you're absolutely right, Tim. I mean, it's interesting to see how the power base is shifting, as we've talked about. It seems like some Democrats down in Southern California, more moderate, aka conservative Democrats, who are right now sitting in these seats, not scheduled to be termed out until 2024, are being targeted by, oh, let's say, some other groups. And it's ironic because these two legislators happen to be black, and the targeters happen to be Latino. So it seems like we have a little bit of minority warfare kicking off in Southern California when it comes to this Democrat-controlled assembly out here in California.
With the open primaries, and it can be whatever parties, it can be anybody running for any office, Democrat versus Democrat, not just the traditional ways where it was usually a Democrat versus a Republican in there. And they are seeing, and they're kind of going at each other a little bit, Andrew. We've seen that on the here in the state and what's going on in some of the print media here in California.
As I say all the time, the problem with term limits, which were passed back in 1990, you know, we've modified the term limits a couple election cycles back.
Right. Right.
And so now legislators are not rushed. So, you know, the people in California, mostly the California Democrat Party, should we say, they've been accustomed to planning over short 6-year periods. And generally in the assembly has always been 4 years, because that last two, they jumped into a Senate seat. So they're not used to waiting this long. For a lot of these individuals down in Southern California within the Democrat machine, 12 years now seems like a lifetime as far as moving ideology as quick as they have been out here in the legislature. But I have to tell you, folks, I mean, it's not a bad thing to, you know, slow things down for a minute. We could be utopic all day with our ideologies, but ultimately, when you see a $170 billion spending plan for this utopic ideas, you know, I guess the question is how are we going to maintain that spending plan, much less pay for that?
Andrew, how is that? When we see numbers and we see California, its growth, and we're talking about people, it's pretty much stagnant, maybe a little bit of growth there, but businesses are not really coming in here anymore, and they haven't for a long time right here. A lot of them are leaving, some big ones, a lot of mom and pop. It's getting tougher and tougher for businesses to compete in and get started in California. And when you're throwing up a big number like that, an increase up to $170 billion, where's it going to come from? Proposition 30 extended taxes?
Yeah, that's the only way it's going to have to come from, folks. I mean, as soon as those taxes disappear, we're going to be in huge deficits. And that's what's going to be the battle cry. And it's going to be for the kids. It's going to be for the veterans. It's going to be for everything and anything except for what it should be, which is, oh, it's going to be the crumbling infrastructure. But good Lord, folks, I mean, you know, look through the spin. Understand what the spin is. Because let me tell you something. We spend quite a bit for the kids. We spend quite a bit for other social issues. But goodness, I mean, one of the big stories I think that was missed on the national level was the fact that General Electric now is beginning, well, they're relocating out of the state of Connecticut. They're going to Boston, you know, because of some tax increases that they actually told the legislature, don't do it because we will be forced to move. It's kind of like what happened with Tesla out here in the West Coast. Now, here's the problem, folks. I mean, look, California ranks number 48 That's right. We only have 50 states. 48 as far as the worst business climate. Who's worse than us? Well, believe it or not, is New York State and, of course, New Jersey. That rounds it up 49 and 50 right there. But eventually, folks, we're going to have to really, really sit down. And if we're only seeing 50% of Californians out here that are agreeing with the direction, well, maybe it's time for us to think about maybe taking a new direction.
And I like the sound of that, Andrew.
All right, folks, time for something you should know, you don't know, maybe you don't want to know, but you're going to know that right now. Today's date, the year is 1780. The American Continental Congress establishes the Court of Appeals. 1815, it was the War of 1812. In 1815, the USS President, an American frigate, is captured by four British frigates. 1831 was the first built locomotive to pull a passenger train, makes its first run, and of course, that same year, the first railroad honeymoon trip. Mr. and Mrs. Pearson from Charleston, South Carolina, was on that train.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday at the news on 1240 KSHB, podcasting on iTunes as well. You want to join the conversation? 257-TALK and out of the area on us at 1-866-882-1277. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinerson.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. It's our favorite day of the week. It is Friday, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Well, it's over, folks. That's all I got to say. It's over. You know, with everything that's happening right now, it's just over. That is college football. That's what I'm talking about right now. Unfortunately, another 9 months we got to wait until kickoff Labor Day weekend. And I have to tell you, you know, what a great national championship game. Ultimately, was not the best. Of course, the 2006 Rose Bowl obviously was the greatest national championship
ever played.
No bias there. But fortunately, all the analysis believed me on that. So anyways, great game. Congratulations to Alabama. But yes, the debate will continue, folks. A couple teams probably were left out. An eight-game playoff system is something we will chirp about as far as putting teams in to make sure that that is balanced out. But until then, folks, it's all about politics. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, podcasting on iTunes, where America's voice is heard. And you know, Tim, we've got a lot to talk about, lots going on in the state of California. Obviously, the State of the Union, and of course, the Republican debate over the last couple of days. But, you know, we do have a call on the line. We're going to go right to the caller. Hello, welcome to 503. What's on your mind today? Thanks for joining this conversation.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just wanted to let you know I heard two things of interest on the TV early this morning.
Okay.
One was Walmart's closing 154 stores, and the other one was that they filed a suit against Cruz in Texas on the eligibility for him to run.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And that's kind of been a big issue, at least in the last week, on the national scene, Andrew, with Senator Cruz.
Well, let's go into the national issues and then hopefully pick up the state on the bottom part of the show.
You bet.
Look, I mean, Walmart closing these stores, I mean, I guess one could say they're anticipating an increase of minimum wage up to $15 an hour. And so, I mean, that's just going to be it. You know, there's some concerns what's happening. Wages are increases out there in China. Things are getting a little bit more expensive. I mean, good Lord, folks, when's the last time we've walked into our local store and we've seen the price increases? And my wife and I, we walk out of Walmart from time to time. We're like, goodness, I thought this used to be a little bit less expensive than it is up here, in particular in our area. And as far as Ted Cruz goes, look, I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch Ted Cruz. I don't know if his popularity in the state of Texas is as most people outside the state of Texas may believe, at least with the national media, and, you know, sparks some debate. And I don't know, man. It's just going to be interesting to watch that fight and see how everything pans out. Okay, the phones are lighting up. We do have another call. Thanks for joining this conversation. Welcome to the 503. What's on your mind?
Hi, guys. I'm glad you made it through the snowstorm.
We sure did. Thank you, Violet.
Hey,
I was wondering if we don't get Trump for president, if we could get him for governor of California.
Yeah.
Later.
Thank you.
Well, it looks like at least we can say that Donald Trump, hey, man, we're cheaper to do business out here, at least by one number when it comes to your state. Absolutely. You know, the national politics, of course, are hitting the scene. And, you know, I did watch the, like most folks, I don't know actually if anybody really watched the State of the Union. But what I found interesting about the State of the Union, a couple things. Number one, there was a lot of people, you know, looking at their watches. It seemed like there was a lot of people.
And he said he was going to make it brief too, Andrew. And
nodding off. Man. And I don't know exactly what he was doing up there as far as lecturing the Congress, but it did seem like that's exactly what he was doing. You know, holding on to some of his utopic failures and blaming the Congress for some of what he believes to be the ideals that we need to go down as far as in the United States, those roads. It seemed like that he was really putting the blame on the United States Congress. And it was just, to me, I found it kind of, I mean, to a degree, I respected what he was doing. I like the slap down. I like some of the comments he was making. Okay, Congress, you know, if you want to destroy ISIS, then declare war. You know, putting the focus back on the United States Congress. Doing that was very, very strong. Now, some of the things that he was talking about obviously are in dispute as far as agreement. But, you know, it's his last presidential State of the Union. And I have to tell you, I was surprised by the way it went. It was more like a state of lecture from the executive to the United States Congress. Okay, you're on the line. Thanks for joining the conversation. What's on your mind today?
Thank you for the show, as always.
Thank you.
I'd like him to go one step further and have Congress pay for that war against ISIS with our tax dollars. And if Trump doesn't become president, you can have him for the state of Jefferson, but you got to move the state of Jefferson out of Lassen County. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
I hear you. Where America's voice is heard, folks, and that's what we welcome. I mean, enjoying this conversation. We do have the phone lines opened up, and if you want to talk, talk. But meantime, you know, let's move on to this Republican debate. And, you know, it's just time to end the debates, as far as I'm concerned. At this point, Donald Trump is positioned very, very well. All of the pundits, all of the experts are really, well, they're scrambling right now. I think professional reputations within the political business out there, including the news, look, the media and all groups out there, Donald Trump right now is positioned exactly where Mitt Romney was, where John McCain was at this point in time, with almost the same as far as percentage of lead. And it's almost like he's going to roll at this point. It's going to be interesting to watch. I'm almost right there where I'm going to say it's almost a wrap.
Wow, you know, hear that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm holding on. I'm looking at a lot of things, and I'm thinking, you know, he's pretty much on track at this point to secure it. He's done everything that most people would say, you know, would destroy you as a candidate. But yet he's surviving.
Not a typical year, Andrew.
Well, it's not just a typical year. What's happening, folks, is he said it best in the debate. He's angry. You know,
he'll take that leadership. He'll take that mantle.
He is angry, just like most of middle America right now. And that anger now is translating into this political revolution, which we do at the ballot box. So, you know, the political correctness and the PC police, which is a term that's used out there within conservative media, they're on notice at this point in time. And minority groups, as far as trying to always put their power over majorities at this point, I'm not talking about racial, I'm talking about just minority groups, you know, they're being checked at this point. And, you know, it's rolling at this point in time. And the big thing also, it's kind of interesting to watch Bernie Sanders, I got to tell you. I think Bernie Sanders has got a chance to actually, you know, maybe defeat Hillary Clinton when it comes to this. And so, yeah, it's going to be kind of great. The Democrats right now are really lining up as socialist, and they are being exposed as socialist. And so Hillary Clinton at this point in time, the struggle that she's going to have is actually getting back onto the conservative side. So I don't know, guys. It's going to be fun to watch, but I would like to see Trump versus Sanders. And I've said it before in the past, but I think that ideology would rep. Look at these debates. Look at all these candidates. We have just about every ideology, Every ideology.
Oh, we have. And we have had for months, Andrew.
Every ideology represented. We got socialists. We got communists. We got liberals. We've got progressives. We got conservatives. We have libertarians. The only thing that we don't have, okay, the only thing that we don't have happens to be anarchy. But, you know, one could argue that anarchy is where we are when it comes to a lot of our state of affairs within the political parties on both sides, both Democrats and Republicans.
Now, to hear you say it's almost a wrap is something, because I think you've been kind of holding on, thinking that, you know, if Governor Bush could right his ship, because he had a huge war chest, a huge amount of money, but it doesn't seem to be doing any good. He is more of your typical candidate, Republican, the typical party guy, and it's just not resonating right now. Is that a fair assessment, Andrew? What's going on?
Well, Jeb Bush had the best message throughout the debate, and it was late, and boy, it's late in the campaign when he attacked Donald Trump's tariffs. I mean, what a message to the Iowan, you know, the soybean markets and the corn farmers, you know, about the tariffs and how it would affect them. I mean, that is the ground game message, I'm sure he's saying. But as far as the rest of the nation, it's not going to resonate that much. And look, Iowa and pundits have been saying this for a while, and this is nothing new. Iowa really is irrelevant except for a national boost, and hopefully that resonates, you know, for as far as name recognition and so forth. But after Iowa, you know, most of those candidates are going to be gone. I mean, they're not going to be able to stay in the game. You know, the only individuals positioned past Iowa and New Hampshire are going to be obviously Donald Trump, Jeb Bush, of course, Senator Cruz, and then Marco Rubio maybe. I mean, eventually the establishment is going to go somewhere, okay? And right now they're going to go to Rubio as soon as Jeb falls. And what a turn of events and politics, I got to tell you. You know, it's my ideal team. I still stick with it, man. If Donald Trump was not in this race, my ideal team would have been Jeb Bush, along with, and I would have heavily recruited, Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval. But that does not look like it's going to turn out.
It doesn't look like it. And what a chain of events, a turn of events from a year ago. You're talking about Bernie Sanders, and he is coming up in the national polls, which is really amazing. Is it Hillary falling, or are the Democrats hearing his message of equality, death to everybody who's making a lot of money? We need to give it to everybody else. Is it a little bit of both, Andrew, out there? What's going on with Bernie Sanders?
Well, you know, let's look at what President Barack Obama did with his State of the Union. I mean, it was almost, folks. I mean, when you listen to it, it was almost like he was with some of the ideologies he was throwing out there as far as a slap challenge to the Republicans in the Congress. He was borderline endorsing Bernie Sanders.
Wow, I never thought I'd hear that one. Endorsing Bernie Sanders, 503 Report, 257-TALK. And now the area, 1-866-882-1277. The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, folks, time for something you should know, you don't know, maybe you don't want to know, but you're going to know that right now. Today's date in history, the year is 1915. Japan claims economic control over China. And boy, I tell you, man, the Chinese have got long memories, which is some of the problems that we're seeing right now on that Pacific side between these two nations. 1939, hey! The first NFL Pro Bowl was played, and it was the New York Giants beat the All-Stars 13-0 in Wrigley Field. 1943, the largest world office building built, called the Pentagon, was completed. Now this one, wow, I mean, I can't believe this was this many years ago. It was back in 2009. We all remember this. U.S. Airways Flight 1549 makes an emergency landing into the Hudson River shortly after takeoff. All passengers and crew members survived thanks to the heroic actions of those pilots. I can't believe that was that many years ago, man. It seems like just like yesterday. Okay, hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento Hey, the world to you, podcasting on iTunes, where America's voice is heard, Tim.
It is our favorite day of the week. It is Friday. It's a snowy Friday up here in northeastern California, at least on the ground in the mountains. And boy, are we set up here in California, Andrew, for getting hit pretty good. The mountains, the reservoirs should be looking pretty good next year, we hope.
You know, that's some of the hope that a lot of people out here in California have. And speaking of California, I know we shifted it. Usually we go California, then the national, but the callers opened it up to the national. So political improv is what we do here. So here we go, folks. Let's talk about the state. We mentioned on the first segment, California ranks 48th out of 50 states when it comes to a business-unfriendly business climate when it comes to doing business out here in California. And so when we're talking about $170 billion spending plan, I mean, who's got that kind of spending plan when it comes to a state? And the taxes increases, Proposition 30 set to expire. But, you know, that is going to be a battle throughout 2016, and really, folks, it's up to you to decide what you want to do. Okay, we mentioned earlier that two moderate Democrats down in Southern California who happen to be black representatives, Cheryl Brown out of San Bernardino and Mike Gibson out of Los Angeles, are being challenged by two Latinos. They are considered to be, should we say, less conservative or more conservative. These groups are coming after. It's going to be an internal fight. That's what happens when you get the supermajority and people are just going to be impatient as far as waiting 12 years to run for office.
And we've been talking about this for a while here, Andrew, and ever since they went to the open primaries and things like that, is they are going to be having to turn on each other a bit, where the Democratic Party has always seemingly been in the past. Whoever the candidate is, we're going to back them. But now they're fighting amongst themselves for those few seats that might be out there. That's just something different to see amongst the Democratic Party.
Well, it's going to be, minority versus minority when it comes to the Democrats down there, Latino versus African-American when it comes down to that. And they don't want to say that, but that's exactly what's happening in Southern California. And then, of course, we talk about the inevitable fight between the Bay Area and Southern California. So the Democrats are going to duke it out when it comes to this. And so, you know, there are four environmental groups out here in California that are basically going against and trying to primary some of the more conservative, moderate Democrats, because some of the agendas, thank God for these conservative, these environmental group Bay Area based avocations are being blocked. And so the leftist doesn't have that extreme control like they used to. And so it's going to be kind of fun to watch. And then, of course, we're talking about a field poll where 42% say California is moving in the right direction. And folks, one of the founding bases for that 50% happens to be because they don't see the budget battles in the legislature, in the press today. So there's a misconception that because we're not battling over the budget, then things must be going well. When they see a $170 billion spending plan, they're not worried about that, okay, because they just don't understand, maybe, or not following the fact that Proposition 30 is going to disappear. And so that is the foundation for most people thinking that it's going well.
Andrew, is it the job of the Republican Party or us or whoever to say, this is what's going to happen? You know, we say this all the time on here, that it's going to expire at the end of this year unless something happens, and they're really going to fight for that. But that message is really not getting out, because it seems to me that we are the only ones talking about it. You don't hear this on a stage anywhere. You see that in some media out of Sacramento, but nothing big on the state or a national level. What's going on?
Well, you know, it would go against what, you know, that Democrat machine puts out there as far as propaganda to you, our listener. Okay, it seems like the California resident freshman enrollment in the UC system is down 9.5%.
Wow, that's a huge drop, Andrew.
9.5% from last year. And, of course, you remember, Tim, we exposed that less than 30%, I think it was last year, we exposed that, the stats show that less than 30% of students graduating from California high schools at this point are even eligible to take an entrance exam. They can't get through the entrance exam. So the vast majorities, which resulted in that big fight, you know, with the governor exposing that the UC system were taking more out-of-state students, and of course it charges more money. But look, I mean, when you're 9.5% lower than last year, where are you going to take those students from?
And that's the numbers that were out there, because the number is roughly around 175 to 200,000 students out there. So when you drop, you know, 15,000 to 20,000, and obviously, because you want to have the revenue and the money still coming in, if it's not going to be from your local state, you are going to reach out and try and get more people in.
Well, look, I mean, you've got $63 billion in 98, Proposition 98 mandatory funding that's coming into this year's budget, part of that $170 billion spending plan. And the question is going to be for Californians, are we getting the results for that amount of money? And so I love the teachers out there. I know they're working hard, but somewhere, somehow, you know, there is a gap that needs to be filled, and I just don't know where it's at, but maybe we can get some educators to come on our show from time to time to be able to explain where the problem is. And I have a feeling it's all going to do with the bureaucracy and not the rank and file members out there who are in the classrooms.
Well, I was going to mention that out there because we've talked about this in the past for about 4 years now. It's pretty fat at the top in any governmental agency, and the administration seems to be pretty fat on there. And you know, I can remember as a student, we had everything that we needed. And granted, that was a long time ago, but we had plenty of money for everything that we needed, and we got a great education. We got to move on. We had those opportunities out there. 9.5, 10% is a huge number out there, folks. Less. We've been hearing about it for years, how much more difficult it is, or how many fewer kids are at a higher, at a 12th grade education. You know, the number, if they're graduating, it might be at only at like a 9.5. And that it's just bodes for those numbers you said right there. And it's very difficult. They're not learning in the classroom like they should.
Well, you know, the stats show that. And I don't know, you know, how these stats are being taken. And like I said, we're welcome to any type of advisement from individuals who might know exactly how that is going. Well, you know, one of the things that President Barack Obama mentioned in his State of the Union, or State of Lecture, should we say, to the Congress address this week was, you know, he mentioned about the partisans. In other words, individuals wanting to do things and work with the president, but back home, their fear of primaries and their constituency don't want them to do that. Well, it seems like not only is our local congressman up here, Doug LaMaffa, possibly facing a primary this year at this point, seems like Ami Barra down in the Sacramento area is not receiving Democrat clubs / groups endorsements because they claim that his voting record in the United States Congress has been too conservative. So it looks like there's an internal strife with Congressman Ami Barra. And of course, you know, I have to lecture, you know, unfortunately, Tom McClintock, you know, congressman down there interfered with Doug Ossie. Otherwise, the Republicans could have had that seat. But anyways, internal strife with the Democrats in that district. It's going to be interesting to watch to see if Congressman Ami Barra may be primaried, or let's see if the Republicans want to take that seat back. Interesting race developing down in Sacramento that most people are not paying attention to. Definitely the Democrats in California do not want anybody to pay attention to that race.
Well, they don't, and that's why you have not heard that, and I saw that as well, Andrew. And it's amazing to think that one of our contributors on here, Congressman Doug LaMaffa, it's already at that time of the year, and you've been talking about numbers for Congress and the president lecturing and saying how low, and he's throwing the ball to them. And the Americans as a whole feel that 80% of what they do in Congress, or congressmen and women in general, are not doing a very good job. We up here have had Congressman LaMaffa on here, and we've heard him say how difficult it is to get things done. Everybody seems to, Andrew, want to work with each other. The president wants to work with the Congress and the Senate. He doesn't have that control now like he did when he was first elected. That makes it a little bit more difficult. It was nice to hear him say he would like to reach across and have anybody work together, but he went back on his lecturing rant and kind of lost a lot of folks there.
Well, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, really, to use the term we used, punked the president out early in his administration. And I thought it was kind of appalling to see the clip of Nancy Pelosi looking at her watch during this historical last presidential State of the Union address from our first African-American president. So it was almost like even the minority leaders within the Congress of the Democrats were actually dismissing him, and it looked like Steny Hoyer was just about to fall over. I couldn't tell if he was drunk or if he was trying to sleep. It was just almost embarrassing to watch when it came to that. Okay. We talked about the $370 million pay raise proposal in the governor's $170 billion plan. Well, that's going to boost state employees to $16.9 billion. $16.9 billion is the salary budget of state employees. Now, folks, that doesn't include the teacher salaries, which are in Proposition 98, $63 billion proposal. So, I mean, look, state employees, I mean, whoo, boy, we're taking a lot out of that well, and we got to be cautious because eventually that's a big blip on the radar, and I just don't know if I'm concerned as state employees that maybe we're going too far with this, Tim.
Andrew, you talked about it in the past couple of shows about that money, about that $370 million, and we've seen the governor has proposed, and rightly so, I believe, that the membership will have to bear the increased costs of medical. It just kind of goes hand in hand. So the folks out there, they might see a little bit more money, but at the initial, it's going to be taking away. Where it's going to come back is that unfunded liability that is billions and billions, because the more money you make when you retire, that's what it's based off of, and there's the unfunded liability. So the $370 million, you're probably not going to see much of it right now, but you're going to see it at the end.
Look, Proposition 2 put a tax increase on the people and a mandate that the portion of the budget would be used for that purpose. And so, you know, the governor right now and the legislature at this point in time, look, the budget document right now, the Governor Brown is trying to get pieces of legislation that he could not get over last summer through the special session of the legislature by putting the tax increase on the vehicle, $65 per vehicle, and then, of course, increasing taxes on medical appliances for Medicare. These type of taxes being incorporated within the budget document, it's almost like it's an amendment to the budget. As soon as they ratified the budget, okay, then it's ratified. And the question is the legality of that tax increase, in my opinion, within the budget of the state of California versus an individual up and down vote on a tax increase.
Governor Brown was talking about that Proposition 30 as well, Andrew, about it expiring, and he is really he's just being neutral, not saying a whole lot on there, but he does think that if that were to continue, that money, some of that would be earmarked for that rainy day fund. It would go into something like that. We already had that. We voted that in on the last elections that we had on there already, and now with Proposition 30 money, he wants some more of that to go there. But with $170 billion for a spending plan, they have to have that Proposition 30 money go to those that $170 billion.
Proposition 2 was designated to mandate funding. In other words, a piece of the budget to pay for what the state employees are about to pay for. Once again, you've been bamboozled, wow. State employees. And so subsequently, what we're doing is we're increasing pay to offset that increase. And of course, that adds to the unfunded liability of future retirement benefits. So it's just a bad situation across the board, folks. I mean, yes, I'm preaching a little doom here for the most part. But look, at the end of the year, when Proposition 30 taxes expire, these are going to be the bills that are going to be left for someone to pay for.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, we're probably going to see a big fight, Andrew. I would imagine it's already started. It's January. And they know that those taxes are going to go away. And we are going to see, I think, a huge amount of money, and the Democrats go for that. And that's going to be something they're going to push for. Because, like you said earlier, it's going to be for the kids, and we can't ever take anything away from the kids, according to them.
Well, look, the California Department of Corrections got huge budget increases, and so my hypocrisy only goes so far when it comes to this, folks. So, you know, I'm going to point it out as it comes out. It just doesn't matter. And, of course, you know, the lace one, you know, this one I found very, very interesting. I didn't think Democrats were into cronyism. I thought they were anti-cronyers when it comes to, look, Governor Brown just appointed Dianne Feinstein's daughter to the California Medical Board. She got some great qualifications. You know, this is the board that licenses and regulates doctors.
Wow.
She's a retired judge.
Man.
Retired judge. Now going to oversee doctors when it comes to giving them licenses. I don't know, doctors, what do you guys think about that? Hey, Miranda, what do you think, sir? You know, I know you're out there listening. a judge now overseeing. I just don't know if those are the qualifications. I think we probably should have more doctors on that board to approve and license future doctors, and it just doesn't
not
make
sense.
Not
somebody who does not know anything about medicine. You could think that you do, but you do not unless you're in that profession. I'm sorry.
Cronyism at its
best. Man, you got that right.
Hypocrisy at its best, Democrats, and I have to tell you, you know, take that. You know, as far as all the cronyism that you like to promote on Republicans, it does go both ways, folks. And gee, I wonder if the name Feinstein had anything to do with that. Okay, folks, time for our favorite book. It comes from Proverbs 3, 13, 14. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and understanding, for they gain from it better than they gain from silver, and profit better than gold. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we want to thank those guys out there clearing the roads. They did a great job over this last week getting the snow out of our way so people can get to work, so commerce up here in our community could go forward. And of course, we want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beat in the state, performing the duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California, across this great nation, can be safe.
The 503 Report, heard every Friday right after the news at 12:15, broadcasting on iTunes. You can catch us podcasting there as well. Grab a cup of coffee and join us for a rebroadcast Saturday at 7 before the news and Swap Shop, and Sunday at 7:30 for pre-programmed material, and about a half hour after the show at SierraDailyNews.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Hello, America. Let me thank you for your time.